All right. Well, thank you for your patience during that singing. I got the wrong key there, but we have some new technology. That's why I have wires hanging all over me. All I could hear in the mic was my own voice, so I thought I was singing the right key. Everybody else was singing something different, though. So I apologize for that. If you have your Bibles, please open them up back again to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 10. And this is going to be the text that we're working from tonight. We've already read it, so why don't we go to the Lord in prayer and just ask for His blessing as we get into the text here tonight. Lord God, we thank You so much for the blessing of having Your Word. As I was reading the scripture to my own kids this morning, yesterday morning, we were recalling how the voice of God spoke audibly to Abraham and to some of these saints of old. And we think sometimes, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to hear the voice of God? And then I'd certainly obey. And the fact is, Lord, what we have in Your Word is the voice of God in a much more full way than any of those old saints ever had it. Moses, Abraham, and those guys would have longed for what we have. And we open it so casually and so infrequently. And Lord, when it is preached to us, we wander off. Our minds go elsewhere. Lord, let that not be the case. Help us. You know our weakness, Lord. We pray that Your Spirit would help us to focus tonight as we read Your Word, as we listen to what it has to say to us, so that we might be made more holy. Tonight, Lord, help us to, by way of contrast to what is righteous, evaluate ourselves and to deal with any sin that might be left hidden in our hearts. Like David said, search my heart, O God. Search our hearts, O God. Let Your Word be a light to our feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have you begun your Christmas shopping yet? Who here has started it? Who here hasn't started it? Let me ask. Oh. Well, you better get at it. I know in our house, this is often something that I start early. In fact, I start the day after Christmas, or maybe a couple days after, because not only do I get a head start, but I get all the deals. Now, I don't know if in a year's time my kids are going to like those things or not, but at least I get a head start. But one thing is for sure, and that is it doesn't matter whether you get an early start or a late start. Part of the preparation for Christmas when you buy those presents is keeping them hidden, isn't it? Finding a good hiding spot so that nobody finds out what it is that you have. And if you have kids that were anything like me when I was a kid, they search everywhere for them. Some of you will go to great lengths to make sure these gifts are hidden. I know that because that's what I do. I go to great lengths. In fact, I've hidden them so well that I forget where they're hidden sometimes. There's probably some other dads in here. Moms probably never forget, but dads, you know, we hide them. And it has been more than once where I've been cleaning out a space in the basement or something, and I come across, and there's an old gift that I should have given two or three years ago. Now they've outgrown it, so I don't really know what to do with it. At least I have this assurance, they didn't find it. I know that. Now, Christmas gifts are nice things that we hide, but there are things sometimes not so nice that we hide. And our sin is a perfect example of that. One of those things that we want to keep hidden. We want to keep it hidden from others, that's pretty much always the case, but sometimes we want to keep it hidden from even ourselves, so that we don't have to deal with them. We don't have to think about the sins that we struggle with. And sometimes the pains that we go to and the great lengths that we go to not deal with sin in our lives rightly, it can be astonishing, really. And instead of repenting of sin, what we find out after a while is that it costs us a lot more than we bargained for. But in the end, we always find out that we are still disgraced by it. Ongoing sin is our greatest opportunity for depravity. It is. It's our greatest opportunity for plunging further into depravity. So we need to repent of ongoing sin. Oh, these cords and cables, man. I'm sorry, Chris. It's my fault. We need to repent of ongoing sin. Now, a few weeks ago, we were in the book of 2 Samuel, and we looked at how King David handled conflict in this very chapter. And he handled it in a godly way. But there was another young guy, a young fellow by the name of Hanun. He was David's contrast in our text. And it's Hanun that we're going to look at tonight. Somebody said to me earlier this week, oh, the sermon, it should be encouraging. And I had just written this sermon. I thought, oh, it's not super encouraging, but you know what? I think we need to look at this character. We need to look at Hanun, because we can make the same kind of mistakes that Hanun made, and we don't want to do that. Now, just for some history, you might remember me mentioning that David had been working very hard. We didn't see, the text doesn't say that he'd been working hard, but we know that he was working hard to bridge the gap in a relationship between his kingdom, Israel, and another kingdom, the longtime enemies called the Ammonites. And he wanted to continue these new and happy relations that hadn't been going on for so long. So something happens in the kingdom of Ammon. The king dies, King Nahash. He's mentioned in our text here. And David reaches out to the new king, this new young king, with an ambassadorial display of kindness to this new king, Hanun. However, this young king, this new king, Hanun, he responds in a way that, well, it's not very wise. What he does is he follows the foolish advice of his advisors. And he ends up ridiculing David and the entire nation of Israel. Now, in verse 6, Hanun, we see that he's got a decision that he has to make. Now, you and I have all made mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. We've made foolish decisions in our lives at different points, haven't we? And when we realize that we make those decisions, there's a couple of options that we can take to deal with it. One is that we can admit to it. We can repent of it. Or we can try to hide it. We can try to cover over it. We can try to pretend like it never, ever happened. And just move on. Or sometimes we can even, if it's a sin that really stands out, we can put up a stubborn shield of pride in front of us and think we can just keep marching on. Well, that's what Hanun does. He takes this last option, not the first, to admit it and repent of it. Our text tells us, when the Ammonites realized, I know some translation says he'd become a stench in David's nostrils. What it means there, and it should be translated this way, is they had just become repulsive to David. When the Ammonites realized they had become repulsive to David, they hired 20,000 foot soldiers from the Arameans. Okay, let's stop there. So Hanun could have done one of two things when he realized his error here. Like we said, he could have gone to David. He could have repented, saying, I've made a grave mistake here. Let's make amends. But no, he doesn't choose that option. Instead, he digs in his heels, doesn't he? And he chooses not to deal with his sin in the way that he should. And the rest of the story unfolds to show us what happens as a result of this. This chapter would have been a lot shorter if Hanun had just said, we made a mistake, let's go back and start over here again. Because what we see happen here is that ongoing sin not dealt with, provides a foothold for pride. Ongoing sin, unrepented sin, provides a foothold for pride. This is one of the reasons that we need to deal, us, you and me, we need to deal with unrepentant or ongoing sin. Hanun didn't deal with his sin. And it's clear for this that the reason was his pride. Now, his initial response to David's emissaries, when David sent these guys, it was probably one of pride. He was a new king, a young king, and he probably wanted to make an impression on everybody. I'm a new, strong, young king, like my dad. And so he figures, I'm guessing one of the ways is to show his strength by humiliating Israel. When he sends these guys, when David sends these guys, we don't know that for sure, but it's certainly not beyond possibility. And I imagine that's probably part of what motivated that. But what is clear for sure is that instead of apologizing to David, sin gets the best of Hanun here. And pride, it provides a foothold in his life for pride. What does Proverbs 16:18 tell us? Actually, the Jam kids should know this because this is one of their verses. What is it? Pride, can you say it? Pride comes before destruction. An arrogant spirit or a haughty spirit before a fall, right? Some other Jam kids here, right? Well, that wisdom, unfortunately, doesn't occur to Hanun. Instead, the text tells us he realizes his sin against David. We know that from the text. He realizes it and his sin against Israel, but he tries to cover over it. And how does he do it? By putting on a tough image. That's why he goes out and he hires all these other armies, these mercenaries from other countries. Now, I don't know about you, but this is something that I can relate to, unfortunately. After all, nobody enjoys confessing sin. It's not fun to go out there and say, guess what, I've sinned. I did it once again. And telling people that you sin. It's not enjoyable. It's an admission of shame. And that's where our pride starts to kick in. Because pride is there. It's always ready to serve as a cover for that confession. But you know what? Pride is a terrible cover. We learn it over and over and over again that it is a terrible cover for shame because it's like putting a cover over a pile of manure in your living room and pretending that it's not there. The manure's still there. In fact, it stinks even more after a little while. This doesn't start with Hanun. This goes all the way back. This goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Yahweh told them, what did he tell them? Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they did. They go and they sin. And then when God, just before God comes calling for them, what do? They try to cover themselves, don't they? To cover their shame by trying to sew together a bunch of leaves for clothing. Good luck with that. I don't think that would work out very well, but that's what they try and do. And then they realize that's not going to work, so they hear God walking. And then again, they try to cover themselves by hiding in the bushes, in the trees. Genesis 3, 7 to 8 tells us this. They knew that they were naked. That is, they knew, they realized their shame. So they sewed fig leaves together. They made loincloths for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of Yahweh God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid themselves from Yahweh God among the trees of the garden. I think it's safe to say that confession wasn't the first thing on their minds here, was it? They thought that they could cover their shame by sewing some leaves together. They hide in the bushes. And their unrepentant sin, their ongoing sin, gave them a further foothold for pride. Pride's a powerful thing in us. It was because of pride that the original sin occurred. Guys, this is why confessing is so hard. Because admission of sin exposes who we really are. It shames our pride. It takes our pride and it tramples it underfoot. But that's not the only thing confession of sin does. It removes the foothold of pride because it exposes our vulnerability to sin. It exposes the fact that I have a tendency towards sin. And the good thing about confession is that when we're confronted with our vulnerability to sin, that's when God works best in us, isn't it? Because he says, finally, here's something that I can work with. Here's somebody who knows that they need me. And it's when we have to admit our sin to others that we truly face admitting it to ourselves. And then we realize that we need God's help to do things right. And that is the very place where salvation lays. Repent of ongoing sin because it provides the foothold for your pride and my pride. But not only does ongoing sin lead to pride, it also ends up costing us far more than we ever bargained for. Ongoing sin costs us big, more than we imagine. Let's go back to Israel now. For a while, as we said, there was no war between David and the Ammonites. In fact, it was a time of peace. Probably they were starting to trade with one another, and there were good relations. You know what it would be like? It would be like North Korea waking up and finding in the Wall Street Journal or whatever you read, BBC, whatever, finding that overnight North Korea and the United States became friends, and there was trade going on. It would be that huge. But suddenly Hanun makes this decision, I'm not going to deal with the sin that I committed. And what immediately happens? Well, we already said it, pride takes a foothold. And look again at verse 6. Hanun is worried here, obviously. So he runs out, and what does he do? It says, hired 20,000 foot soldiers from the Arameans of Beth-Rehob and Zobah, 1,000 men from the king of Maacah, and 12,000 men from Tob. What does Hanun's sin do here? Suddenly, overnight, the people wake up to new taxes. He has to dig into the pockets of his people to cover up this sudden and insane expense of 33,000 soldiers. And these soldiers weren't local. They come from 400 kilometers away in an area that wasn't even close to them. And you can imagine that the king said, oh, we'll send them, don't bother about our mileage. I'm sure they wanted to be reimbursed as they walked all the way there. You see, Hanun immediately begins to pay far more than he imagined so that he could just save face. He spends, in what would be today's dollars, tens of millions of dollars because he doesn't want to deal with his sin. And not just his money, but the people's money. He pays financially. But he also sacrifices his dignity. He takes his sin further now. He sacrifices his integrity. As it becomes clear to us, it probably becomes clear to all the people under his rule that he is not a man who wants to deal with things in a right way. So they're going to have to pay for it. And as we're going to see a little bit later, he ends up sacrificing, in verse 19, he sacrifices his relationships with every other country around him because he doesn't want to deal with his sin. The point is this. When we seek to cover our ongoing sin, we end up doing things that we never thought that we would do. He's become kind of a legend now, and I don't think I'm saying anything new here, but Lance Armstrong, you know that name, don't you? Maybe you once cheered for him, but this guy carries with him a scandal that rocked the world of not just professional cycling, but professional sports as a whole. He was a young Texan cancer survivor who made good. He inspired thousands of people. An all-American hero as all eyes turned on him. But he had a sin that he kept covered up. Cheating, right? Something he could have dealt with early on, but he didn't deal with it. Didn't want to confess. And in the process, he ruined the lives of many, 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 many people. He used his charm. He had a winning smile. He was the glory boy of the United States. He used his inspiring reputations to destroy others who knew about his corruption. He turned on longtime friends, and he publicly humiliated them because they had to tell the truth. They didn't want to, but they just had to. He spent millions of dollars to cover up what people increasingly knew was undeniable. And in the end, what happened? He sacrificed nearly every relationship that he had. Now, I'm sure that first time that he injected EPO, that first time he started cheating, he never envisioned that he would do any of these things. You know, we never think of these things when we start to flirt with sin, do we? We don't think that far ahead. But ongoing sin comes with a hefty price tag, and we end up sacrificing far more than we can ever imagine. If you have ongoing sin in your life, you will pay for it. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your dignity. It maybe already has. You may not even realize it, but you look at your friends around you and your relationships with them have already changed and you wonder why. Well, it will cost you your integrity. This is one thing you may already realize as you've had the feelings of guilt already and you know what the weight is like carrying that guilt. It will cost you relationships. It will. It will. If you've been a Christian in the church any time, for any length of time, you already know this. You've seen sad, sad things happen. I've seen it happen over and over again. It's going to cost you relationships. It may even cost you your relationship with God Himself. You know, we need to think about those examples in the New Testament that are mentioned. Paul mentions three or four in his letters to Timothy, Hymenaeus, Philetus, some of these other guys who didn't deal with their ongoing sin. We need to think about the warning passages. There's four of them in Hebrews, but the biggest one is in Hebrews chapter 6, 4-6, where it says this, and guys, this is a warning we need to take seriously, for it is impossible to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift, became companions with the Holy Spirit, tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age, and who've fallen away. Whatever it is that you may not want to deal with, as your brother in Christ, it doesn't just break my heart, it breaks the heart of all of your brothers and sisters in Christ in here when I say, deal with it, because you are going to pay the price. Sorry, I just have things come to mind that I've seen. Repent of ongoing sin, because it's going to cost you more than you bargained for. It will. Well, you might be sitting here thinking, I hear what he's saying, and I know that I should deal with, but you know what? I haven't had to deal with any repercussions so far. I'm just going to put it off longer. I don't know if I'll deal with it or not. You know, as sinners, we believe this. And it's not because we're unintelligent. It's not because we're stupid people. It's not. We think this because sin, it's a weird thing. I wish it was visible. Because I think what we would see is we would see this hazy covering that it puts over our eyes. Our forward-looking eyes. So we can only see so far. And we think that everything else past it is going to be okay. That's what sin does. You know, the media right now is filled each day with revelations about the sexual misconduct of some of these very powerful men. Every day there's more and more and more coming out in the news, isn't there? Who've used their power to abuse the weaker sex, the women who work for them. And it's awful to read about some of these guys. But you know, it's surprising when you hear some of the names that are coming out. It's surprising because we expect more from these men. They're smart men. These aren't your local yokels who have a penchant for drinking. They can't control their drinking 24 hours a day. They're not your local yokels who have no education. These are smart men, and they have the ability to look forward when it comes to their trading stocks and bonds and all of these and their political aspirations. They can see. They can navigate way down the road much better than you or I ever could. That's why they get to these offices or these positions in their seat in their companies. But sin twists their minds to remove any sense of the future result of the action of their sin. But rest assured that ongoing sin always gets exposed. Always. Always. So repent of ongoing sin. It is always exposed. You know, we will eventually face our downfall because of it if it's not dealt with. For Hanun and the Ammonites, it came very quickly. There wasn't a long waiting period before these guys experienced humiliation because he wouldn't deal with his sin. In verses 13 and 14, we see that despite his best efforts to not deal with his sin, he eventually faces the repercussions. He faces humiliation. And that is because righteousness always has victory over that which is sinful. And when Hanun had to face God's people, it became clear that the sinful fell in shame before the righteous. You see, the greater the sin, the more difficult it is to cover over. It grows. Sin grows. Like this. And the longer we let ongoing sin continue, also the more brazen we become to it. So that when things finally do come to a head, like they did for Hanun, the downfall is great. So it will be with us if we don't deal with ongoing sin now. Romans 14:12 tells us this. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless. When the moment of truth finally comes, and it will, the pain and the humiliation that we will face because of unrepentant sin is far worse than we can ever imagine right now that it will be. The disgrace before others is going to be a painful thing. I mean, you may know that, and that's why. That's why you don't want to deal with it. I know in my past, there have been things, you know, when I was a little kid, I didn't want to tell mommy and daddy the truth because I knew that there was going to be pain if I told the truth. There was more pain when I didn't, but there was pain, even when I was truthful. But if we don't deal with it now, we only persist in it. You keep going in it. In fact, you are forced to persist in it. And you will find that the sin that we think that we have control over, it controls us. And we have to function according to how it moves. It doesn't function according to how we move. If we don't deal with it now, we become more brazen. And what I mean by this is that we become numb to the effects that our sin not only has on us, but the effects that our sin has on others as well. Ongoing sin in our lives makes us view others as stepping stones to our own self-protection. It does. Yeah, truth gets sacrificed along the way, but other people also get sacrificed along the way. That might be your husband who gets sacrificed along the way. It might be your wife who gets sacrificed along the way. It might be your children who get sacrificed along the way. Did you ever imagine that your children could pay the price because you don't deal with your sin? Your children's reputation can suffer. If their own personal identity doesn't suffer, their reputation can suffer. How people view them and treat them because their mom and dad is a gossip, maybe? Because their mom and dad embellishes things? What that really is not, you just don't tell the whole truth. Because their mom or dad plays around with sexual temptation? Men and women, if this is you, trust me when I say you're not as covert as you think you are. You're not. People in the church can tell you that if they're honest with you. It is embarrassingly obvious to others if you're like this. People may not tell you, but they are telling other people. Because their mom or dad is lazy, doesn't get involved. Do we not care about how others might pay the price when our sin becomes exposed? There are countless wives, there are countless husbands, there are countless children whose lives are difficult. They might have a hard time getting a job. They might have a hard time making friends. They might have a hard time not committing suicide because of your sin. Maybe they might have a hard time even looking you in the eye without being ashamed. And you know what? If it hasn't happened yet, it will. It will happen. All because ongoing sin isn't dealt with. When ongoing sin, when it's exposed, it is humiliating. It may be devastating, not just for you, but for others as well. So repent of ongoing sin. Do it tonight, because it will always be exposed. And then lastly, we need to realize that ongoing sin, if we're going to deal with ongoing sin in our lives, it can only be done through Jesus and the work of His Spirit. Ongoing sin can only be overcome by Jesus and the work of His Spirit. You know, 1 John 1:9, a verse worth memorizing. It was one of the first verses I memorized just by chance. Well, not by chance. but you know what I mean. When I was a new Christian, It's a verse worth living by. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me say it again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just. And he'll forgive us our sins. And he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, dealing with ongoing sin isn't an easy thing. If you're experiencing the power of sin's control of your life, if you're feeling the chains that unconfessed sins have right over top of your shoulders right now, and you carry them with you wherever you go, you know something of the incredible power, the bondage of sin. And that's why Jesus was born. That's why he was born. What a great holiday. God come to man. That's why we need the one who is more powerful than sin to do the work in us on our behalf. Because the one who is in you, oh, if Christ is in you, he is greater than the one who's in the world. Greater. Always has been, always will be. He is. 1 John 4:4. It's true that no matter how entrenched in sin we may be or we may become, there is a God whose power is greater. And he comes to us. Jesus is his name. And the Father makes the salvation of Jesus available to any who call on him. I challenge you to go through Scripture and find a single place where God doesn't answer people when they call on him. It's not there. He always does. Even when he says, this is kind of a mystery, a theological mystery, I don't understand, but even when he says to Israel, I've cut you off, I'm no longer going to listen to you, even when you call on me, I won't listen to you, you know what? He still does. He always does. Anyone who confesses their sin, God is faithful, and God is willing to cleanse you, and he's willing to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that some pain isn't involved. There's always the initial moment when God rips off the Band-Aid, but you know what? He will heal us from our sins. And it also doesn't mean that there won't be ongoing consequences of our sins. We need to expect that. That's just the way it works. Dealing with sin, confessing sin, may mean that others eye you suspiciously for a time. And you know what? Don't blame them. It's your fault. They have good reason to eye you suspiciously. It doesn't mean that they're not being gracious toward you, but you may feel it for a while. Some people may even turn their backs on you. That's those who don't realize their own sin. But it may happen. There are ongoing consequences for ongoing sins. But if we confess our sins, no ongoing consequences with the one who matters. No ongoing consequences with God. Just mercy. If you confess your sins, he is faithful. Because you know what? He's your Father. And he helps you move forward. So call on God's help, and he will be faithful to fill you with his Spirit, who, I always like the image, who comes in, and he slowly but he surely cleans you up from the inside out until you are brand new. New for his kingdom, new for others in this life. God isn't wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So call on God. Christian, call on God. Now, I know I'm mostly speaking to Christians here tonight. I believe that everybody here is a Christian, but there is a chance that if you might be here tonight and you are not a Christian, if that's the case and you know that you need to deal with your sin, but you don't know how, guys, grab another Christian. Trust me. Christians need reasons to say that, oh, I shared the gospel with somebody. You'll make their day if you come and you say, can you help me with this? You'll make their day. Grab a Christian, maybe for the first time ever, to help you call on Jesus. The power of sin can only be broken by Jesus' work on the cross. And then by the power of Jesus' Spirit who comes in and he cleans up the heart, he cleans up the mind of anyone who calls on Christ for salvation, by any who confess their sin and turn from it in repentance. Ongoing sin is only overcome by Jesus and his Spirit. Let's face it, if we want to avoid depravity, if we really want to avoid going further into sin, deal with it. Turn from it. Your and my greatest enemy for depravity is not dealing with ongoing sin. So let's ask ourselves, what are the sins? Or what is the sin that your sinful pride is keeping you from confessing? You trying to cover up your shame like Adam and Eve did in the garden, all with their little leaf clothes? I don't even know how they would put those together. You know what? Our feeble attempts are just like that. We can't hide before God. We can't even hide before others. Are you like Hanun? Are you trying to put up a front that makes you look better? Makes you look like that good Christian? Get rid of it. You want to be a good Christian? Get rid of that. If there's sin you're not dealing with, what have you already sacrificed for it? Think about that for a moment. I am sure that there are some in here tonight. Think about what you have already sacrificed to cover that sin. Your dignity? Your integrity? Are you putting relationships in jeopardy? Really in jeopardy, maybe. If there's ongoing sin, maybe you need to think about, again, about the fact that it is going to be exposed. Oh, it will be exposed. Odds are it'll be exposed in this life. Odds are it almost always is, and sooner rather than later. But it's 100% certain that it will be exposed before God one day. And he is going to ask you, why? I offered it all to you. Why didn't you trust me? I made you promises. Have I ever failed my people? Why? 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 Why didn't you trust? You know, if you need help with this, why haven't you called on him to help? Or you know what? Maybe you have called on him, but it's been so difficult and you've just given up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't ever give up on God. Call on God's help because he loves to deliver. He loves to deliver his people. Lay your ongoing sin before him and he will deliver, I promise you. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to pray that you would help us tonight to examine our hearts, to ask ourselves the hard questions, Lord. Why am I not dealing with this? What is it in me? Search my heart, O God. Show me what it is that I need to deal with, and then deal with it. Lord God, it can be hard to deal with. I know you've related to us in so many ways, Lord Jesus. When you came to earth, it was why you came to earth, to deal with the same sins, to deal with the same pressures, to face the same temptations. We know that you didn't sin, but I'm sure you understand enough of our human nature to know how difficult it is. So give us your help, Lord, to deal with the sin, to come clean about things that we need to come clean about. Like Hanun, we don't want to face this humiliation. We don't want to sacrifice the lives of others, Lord. And that's what ended up happening in this text. Thousands of people were killed because of one man's sin. Lord, that may not happen in the terms of thousands of lives, but it could happen in terms of important aspects of the lives of the ones that we love. the ones maybe in our church family here that we're supposed to have close relationships with and care for and be edifying for, but we're just not in the way that we should be because we have sin in our lives that needs to be dealt with. Lord, let us be more like David. Let us not be like Hanun. Let us be like Christ. Pure, spotless, and righteous. We know it can only happen as you come in and work in us. So Lord, come in. We invite you in once again. We cry for you to come in and cleanse the land of our heart. Like Joshua went forth in boldness with courage and cleansed the land with your help so that the people had a place to live and your temple could be set up. Lord, let your temple be set up in our hearts in a clear place, one that is right for you. If we need to speak to someone tonight, give us the courage. Help us put an end to that which displeases you. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our final song here, so why don't you...